Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Robert Kolodner, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Tom Romeo. Rob, it strikes me that there are significant regulatory, legal, and professional standards that are going to have an impact on the practice of medicine and create some of these barriers of interoperable electronic health information exchange, as we've discussed. Can you elaborate on the activities you are pursuing to mitigate these barriers, such as licensure?
Yes, Al. The licensure activities are really state level. And so we are working with the states to move these forward. So we commissioned a state alliance for e-health, which was formed by the National Governors Association under contract with HHS. It's made up of governors, state legislators, attorneys general, and commissioners of health across the nation. And the state alliance has spent the last year discussing these state licensure issues and cross-licensure issues, as well as e-health, which includes telemedicine and telepharmacy. And they had a work group that made six recommendations that were aimed at simplifying these licensure processes for physicians and nurses and pharmacies. And they're looking at moving those forward and what activities they can foster across the states to begin to resolve those barriers. At the meeting of the State Alliance, the task force will present additional sets of recommendations that are related to streamlining the licensure for these particular professionals.
Rob, in general, today the current administration does not support the provision of financial incentives to encourage the adoption of health IT, believing that the adoption should be more market-driven. Could you tell us about the use of Medicaid transformation grants? What are these grants, and to what extent do such grants promote the development of state health information exchanges?
Well, I'm going to want to talk both about the Medicaid transformation grants, but also the recently announced Medicare EHR demo, because I think the EHR demo is more directly under the purview of HHS, and it's one where we're going to be advancing Secretary Leavitt's efforts to shift healthcare in the U.S. towards a system that's based on value. If we just give dollars to buy a system, the concern there is that we don't know what the quality of the system is or whether it'll be used. And so we're looking at making sure we reinforce the use of systems and to improve quality. And the demo is designed to provide a bonus payment to providers in the first year who have a certified electronic health record and who are able to do some simple reporting about the use of that. The second year, they actually have to report some quality measures. And the third, fourth, and fifth years, in order to qualify for the bonus, they need to actually achieve certain quality benchmarks. And so it is a way of providing some financial support, but tying it not to just buying a system, but to having a system that, in fact, is effective and is able to increase that quality of care. And that's going to involve 12 communities across the country and 100 physician practices in each of those communities. Now, the Medicaid transformation grants are about $150 million that's been awarded in 2007 into 36 states and Puerto Rico. And the focus is to help Medicaid programs improve the access and to the quality of the services to their beneficiaries by using health information technology. Now, Medicaid is administered by the states, so HHS provides the funds, but the activity actually occurs at the state level. And a few examples include working with various Medicaid programs to advance health information exchange opportunities, use of electronic health records by providers, the electronic prescribing with automated eligibility checks, and the enhanced use of data to improve clinical quality.
With the federal initiative to build nationwide interoperability, regional health information organizations, or RIOs, have proliferated in various forms. Could you elaborate on how your office and HHS assist state and local RIOs?
The initial push was for geographically based health exchange organizations, or RIOs, and we're still working with many of those. We're working to identify best practices. One of the challenges that many of them have is, what is their business case? How are they going to be funded? How do they become self-sustaining? And that's been a real challenge in many of the communities. We also, over this time, have recognized that there are various ways that communities organize their ability to exchange information. One model is this multi-stakeholder group that comes together and forms a new organization. Another may be an integrated delivery network where you have a dominant player in a particular area and they end up providing the technology and the interoperability to throughout the community. There's another model that's occurring in Iowa, which is a group of providers who collaborate together and share the cost of a system that they all can use. So it's not a single integrated delivery network, but it's kind of a virtual integrated delivery network. And then the model of having personal health bank or personal health repository serve as the way that information is shared among providers. So we're looking at making sure that the Nationwide Health Information Network can support any one of those models and doesn't favor just one. But we do believe that a number of the communities that are successful, for example, with the RIO model, will go forward with that, and that there will be some others also that will bring those into being.
Rob, you mentioned earlier that there are two critical elements to the safe exchange of health information at a national level, and those are privacy and security. Could you tell us about your privacy and security efforts and what remains to be done?
Well, let me make sure that I do reiterate and make it real clear that we know that if the health information exchange is not done in a way that's secure and doesn't retain the privacy of individuals, it will fail. And we can't afford for that to happen. We need that system to work and to be in place as soon as possible. We started by working at the state level. This is as challenging as the federal level is when you have all the different states each having their own variety of laws and regulations. That's created unnecessary barriers to the exchange of information, sometimes within a state and certainly across states. We formed both a state alliance that I mentioned earlier, as well as the Health Information Security and Privacy Collaboration, and that's the one that had engaged over 4,000 individuals and really identified the variations in the business practices in the state laws, and then each of the states that participated then put together an action plan and is starting to execute on that action plan to resolve the issues. And this year, what's very exciting is we have multiple states coming together to work on common areas. Now, within the NHIN, from the very beginning, we've incorporated security elements that are part of it and are there every step of the way. And we've also made a requirement that consumers get to have say as to whether or not their information flows over these networks and consumer controls. So we're beginning to build that in to the systems that we're testing and trying out. We're also, as I mentioned, working on a privacy and security framework that we'll be developing and making available later on this year. Problem with policy, it's very deliberative. It takes a long time. What we need to make sure of is that the technology, which can go very rapidly, doesn't constrain or make the policy. And so that's why within what we're doing within the NHIN, we're making sure that it has a large number of capabilities to be able to support the variety of privacy policies that exist at the state level, as well as whatever privacy policy may be moved forward at the national level, at the federal level.
Rob, healthcare transparency is one of the items that may help restrain the growth of healthcare costs by giving consumers more information on the comparative costs and quality of their healthcare. To this end, would you tell us more about value-driven healthcare? Specifically, what are the cornerstones of value-driven healthcare, and how critical is health IT to the vision of a value-driven healthcare model?
Health IT is a critical component of the value-driven healthcare model. Health IT by itself is not a magic bullet. If you simply put in the technology, you'd probably just raise the cost of healthcare. What we need to do is to put in the electronic health records and health IT components in such a way that they're used effectively to improve the quality. The value-driven healthcare brings both the consumer and the provider into the picture. So if you think about it, you know more about the digital TV you go to buy and about the quality and trade-offs of the car you buy than you do about your healthcare, because you really don't know who gives the best quality healthcare. You know who's recommended, but you really don't know the quality. And so what we're doing here is putting in health IT, because that's the way we provide the tools that can be used to improve the quality. And then we measure and report the quality, measure and report the cost. Quality over cost is your value. And then be sure that the person who is making the decision about who to go to or where to get their care has an incentive to choose the best value. And if they don't choose the one that's the best value, then they have that choice, but they may have to pay a higher price. So it's putting this together in a community, and this is done at a community level, and is the core of what the Secretary is now going across the country promoting, which is chartered value exchanges within communities that have brought together the multiple stakeholders to do this activity.
Rob, it strikes me that in order to promote the adoption of health IT, changing the behavior of both consumers and clinicians is a core requirement and presents a tremendous change management effort. Could you elaborate on your strategies to affect this change, specifically among clinicians who typically are not known for accepting change so easily?
I know that, especially today, clinicians are seen as being reticent to make change. And yet, if you look at the real activities over time, when there's a good technology, they adopt it. We're talking about a technology in this case that requires them to change how they practice medicine, to change their workflow. There's not another industry that I know of that has the highest paid, most highly trained individual doing the bulk of the data entry, particularly at such a detailed level. Now, that's the nature of healthcare. We've been doing that. We record it in paper. Now we need to change the workflow so that they're doing it in an electronic health record and being used to actually having information available that they can use rather than making decisions in the absence of information, which unfortunately happens more often than not in healthcare today. So we need to recognize what we're asking them to do, and we need to provide the necessary training and provide environment that will attract them to use the system. What we need to make sure of is that when the provider uses that system, that they find a benefit from it. So having the information available, making it easier to not only send the prescription to the pharmacy, but also to do the refills, because now it's a matter of bringing it up and clicking, and that documents it in the record, it sends the prescription to the pharmacy, and it does the background check for drug-drug interactions so that they know that they're giving safer quality care. So we need to work with the providers. We need to make sure we understand what their issues are. And I can say that having worked in the VA for 29 years, I saw that system go through an incredible transformation that allowed providers who wanted to give the best quality care to now know they had the tools to be able to give that care. And in fact, a combination of the IT system and the management holding them accountable brought about these types of changes and really a transformation in the way that they were able to relate and care for their patients.
Great. What does the future hold for the nation's healthcare system and the rise of health IT? We will ask Dr. Robert Kolodner, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology at HHS, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.